This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hola.
Hi.
Bienvenidas a Super Mamas.
Super Mamas.
This is Paulina.
And this is Bricia. We're moms and sisters.
I have two beautiful girls, Krista, who's 4, and Sabina, who's 1.
And I have a handsome baby boy, Eduardo Santiago. And we welcome you into the Super Mama Sisterhood.
We're here to help one another, inspire one another, and support each other through the ups and downs of motherhood.
I hope you guys enjoy the show.
Okay, listas?
Here we go. Hi, Super Mamas. This is Bricia, and this week on the podcast, we have our dearest friend, Lola Dweck, founder of Lola's Cocina, in studio with us, visiting all the way from Denver. She is going to come in and talk to us about maintaining her traditions alive so far away from home. She's amazing, you guys. She has so many tips for us on how to keep our kids bilingual and, like I said, keeping our traditions alive. We love her. We hope you love her too, and we hope you guys enjoy this week's show. You came in late on that one, sister.
I know. You didn't even warn me or anything. It was just like, plate.
Yeah, I'm like, hi. Hello. Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How is everybody doing? I just realized I say it all the time. How is everybody doing? I was listening back to some episodes and I was like, why do I say that? Like, that's not even how like I talk in real life. How's everybody doing?
Well, you want to know how everybody's doing.
I do want to know how, but not that they can talk back to me like, I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Paulina?
I'm doing good. I have my little kids with me today at work.
I know. You came in with your army. Every time I see you with those two kids, I'm like, and that's how she wants a third one. That's exactly what my brain goes to. But
you know, actually, yesterday we went to the book fair at the USC. And there were so many people, right? It's like huge. I had never been. It's really good.
It's great. The Festival of Book, the LA Times Festival of Books.
It's really good. Like I was in this kids area and I thought that was it, but it was only the kids area. But there were so many people and my husband had one, I had one, and Sabina is walking. So she just takes off.
I know,
well, you saw them.
I know.
And then Krista takes you know, off behind her. So I was like, you know, how do people do with three? Like, you know, how is that gonna happen?
Well, you're outnumbered at that point. You're outnumbered.
We are outnumbered. So I'm just, you know, thinking
you
about
it
that.
You figured it out.
I guess.
I don't know how people do it with two.
Lately, it's been harder for me. Before, I already had the hang of it. Remember, I was like, oh, I got the hang of this. Like, but now with Sabina just running off, I'm like, I can't.
I know. We were having lunch this weekend. We had an impromptu family brunch minus Fernando after church. And then all of a sudden, like, Sabina just got out of her chair and just ran out. And then Chris was like, Sabina, and like picked her up.
I know. Did you see how she picked her up and then dropped her?
And then dropped her. What about that doll I got, Sabina?
Oh my God. So we call her Paquita. I have to post a picture of Paquita because...
We have to post a picture of that doll because I went and I took her to this little like store that this like artesania shop and she just picked up this doll and I was like, yes, I am buying you this doll.
It's Paquita la del barrio. It totally, I was like, oh.
It looks like a stripper.
It looks like Paquita la del barrio. Not that Paquita de Belén looks like a stripper.
No, this doll looks like a stripper. And the fact that she picked it up, I was like, yeah, show this to your dad.
My husband was like, why don't we exchange it? And I was like, I mean, for what? There's really nothing much else. But so I was like, where's Paquita? So now she has a name and it's Paquita.
I wanted her to be carrying her around all the time. What is she having today?
She left it at home. It was not snuggly for her.
No, I want her to carry her around everywhere she goes.
I don't know how this school's going to feel when she shows up with Paquita.
With her stripper doll.
Well, she has like shorts. I don't know. She has like a wrestling outfit. I know we have to post a picture.
How is this a doll?
I mean, I guess.
And then her hands go all over. She's a stripper.
It's like
a dancer.
Papel mache.
She's an exotic dancer. Sorry.
Pero es más como fichera. That's horrible.
Oh my anyway, God. So what else happened your weekend? I think that's it.
No, you know, Saturday I stayed home with them all day because it was really rainy, and we stayed home all day. And I remember a couple of days before that, the teachers, like Sabina, came home with her face painted as Spider-Man. Right?
I know, I saw that picture on Instagram.
And so my husband was like, "Why? Like what?" You know, why? And I was like, well, you know, because they have the kids inside because of the rain and they have to figure out what to do, mm-hmm. right? Because the kids are outside. And so on Saturday, I stayed inside with them and I was like, this is tough. I only have two and I have to figure out how to keep them entertained for like the whole day inside the house. Uh-huh. And I was like, poor teachers. I really sympathize with the teachers
out there. So Thursday, when I went to drop off the baby in daycare, they just got a new kid. He's new, so he's still crying a lot. Aww. So on Thursday, I dropped off the baby, and the new kid was crying. And then my baby's still crying every time I leave him. Mm-hmm. Still cries every
really?
Time I leave. Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, but I'm like, you love me now. I feel Aww. Like he loves me now. I know for a while he didn't care about me. Now he really loves me.
How long has he been in school?
Like a couple months already.
Right.
I know because I have to pay tuition. So yeah, it's been a couple months. But I left, and when I left, they were both crying. And Aww. Poor Lady Erica was just sitting there with both of them. I'm like, good luck.
Peace.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry I have to leave you with this mess.
I know. I'm telling you,
like
when I went.
The baby, mama. And the other one's like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry.
Aww. When I went to pick him up on Friday, I was like, oh, I'll see you Monday. They were like, no, there's, you know, Monday there's no school. There's professional development day. And I was like, damn it. And she was like, you know, a day for you. And I was like, yeah, not a good day for me. A good day for you guys, but yeah. not for me. I was like, I have to figure out what to do with them.
Saturday, I finally went to get my nails done.
Yay!
And I finally used that massage certificate you gave me. For Christmas?
Really?
Was it Christmas that you gave it to yes. me? I finally used it. It was so great. I left my husband because my husband's going out of town next weekend. Mm-hmm. So I have the baby that I have to figure out what to do with him next weekend, like to keep him entertained. Mm-hmm. So he stayed with him on Saturday. And when I got there, he was just like done. Like he was just like, this kid. Well, he's like, he didn't nap all day. And I'm like, well, he's like, I tried. I was like, give me 10 minutes, homie. Like, just give me 10 minutes. He was like, I try to put him down. He was not having it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. My poor husband, he was so tired. Like, he was like, I just need to lay down for like a minute. But the baby's just getting so much. He's like, obviously he's already one, right? Mm-hmm. One and change. And he's just has so much energy.
Oh, yeah.
So much energy. Like, he goes up the stairs now.
He does?
He does all the way up the stairs. But, I mean, we're staying behind him.
Right.
Because I still don't have a gate. He goes all the way up the stairs. And then he wants to come down the stairs. And he comes back up the stairs.
How do you bring him down?
He goes down on his own. Yeah, like, yeah. feet first, kind of. But yeah. he only does that, like, halfway through. And then he's like, he wants to get picked up. So yeah, so now he's just got so much energy, and my husband just follows him around. He wants to get on his bike. He wants us to like push him around on his bike. He's just like, he's just trying to like live life right now.
Oh yeah. And I mean, that's it. There's no stopping after this.
I know. My husband's like, you know, my husband's like not cool with the second one coming.
Oh, really?
No. He was having a conversation with Ramiro yesterday.
Oh, I didn't hear
it. He was like, no, Ramiro was telling me like, hazlo, güey. Yeah, no problema, no pedo, hazlo. And he was like, I just, He's not happy. I mean, we're obviously going to have another one, but like, he's just like, how is this going to happen? How are we going to do? He's like, I don't have energy.
They saw us yesterday running after our kids and, you know, Ramiro like pushing the one around and me like trying to feed another one. He's like, ah!
I mean, you figure it out, right? I think it's like the same old conversation we always have.
Yesterday we had a picnic for the school, and I met this lady that has 6 kids. She has triplets. She has triplets and 3 other ones. And I was like, how? And she was like,
she has no life.
No, she was like, I mean, she has it down, actually. She has activities and she has all of this. And I was like, you're right. I guess it's just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that just becomes part of your life. I think I'm like learning of like what to do on the weekends. I think that's like the thing that I have to do, like, because you always want to have an activity for the baby or trying to keep him busy. And he's at that stage where he's mobile, but he's not like walking. So like, and he's still putting everything in his mouth, sort of. So.
Oh, they will always put things in their mouth.
Yeah. I just, you know what I mean? Like, I just have to figure out like what to do with him right now on the weekend to keep him busy, like play dates or I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do next Saturday and next Sunday.
There's like, I remember that app that I told you that I made in my pig. It was like the Yuggler or something like that. Then you can just figure out what's around your house and for the
Which
for
is
the
why
kids.
I'm so excited about Supermama Social Days. Yay! Because on July 9th, you guys don't have to worry about what to do with your child.
Nope.
You guys can just bring them to the Supermama Social. Have you guys bought your tickets yet, by the way? We're going to sell out, okay? We're going to try to keep it as small as possible. So you guys, don't forget to get your tickets, supermamasocial.com.
Yes.
We have already, Viva Los Cupcakes is actually coming to sell their cupcakes.
So you guys
I waited
can try
an
them.
Hour.
You did?
Yesterday.
Did it? And you told me that you were leaving. You'd be like, oh, it's still like, you know.
No. I mean like for her to show up.
Oh, okay.
No, not for the cupcake. I didn't make an app. But I mean, like, I was like, what time is she getting? If she was late, I was just like, oh my God, I just want a cupcake, dude. But I waited an hour for her to show up for the
you
cupcakes.
You really like them.
I love them.
I know. I've never seen you like something that much.
I love them. I love them. I think I'm going to have her make me like a dozen every week so I can like bring them to work and I can have a cupcake every day. But she's going to be there. We're so excited. Jose's going to be there, Paulina.
La Libreria.
La Libreria.
La Libreria is going to be there. We're going to have a reading corner for the kids with them, and we're going to read books in Espanol. I'm excited about that because when I take my kids to the Libreria, my kids really like just spend an hour there just looking at all the books and reading. They have so many really cool books in Spanish, not just your typical books, you know, that you can find on Amazon and stuff, like books that they bring from other countries, like from Argentina, from Mexico, from all over Latin America. And they're really interesting books by like really good writers, like the really they have a really upscale collection of books, and I'm excited to have them. Yeah. And you know, you guys can get books for your kids.
So La Heredia, Viva Los Cupcakes, you guys, again, don't forget to get your tickets. supermamasocial.com.
Remember, after nap time, before bedtime. So there's no excuse, ladies. And bring everybody. Bring the whole family.
And let's take a break. And we come back. We're going to come back with
our guest.
Beautiful guest, Lola's Cocina. We'll be right back. What's up, ladies? We're back. We got a comadre here. My girl, Lola Cocina.
Yes.
We've turned up before, so she knows me a little well. She didn't know what turn up was. She thought I was turned on by her.
Don't you remember, Lola? I talked about the Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
Okay.
That's so why I learned all my new terms, like sleigh. Instead of saying that's the bomb, you have to say that's sleigh.
That's sleigh. No, you sleigh.
Oh.
That's why we need Urban Dictionaries. Yes. We can't keep up.
What's up, Lola?
Hello.
Lola's Cocina. So can you introduce yourself real quick to our listeners?
Yes. Okay. My name is Lola Dweck, and I'm the founder and publisher of Lola's Cocina, a Mexican food and culture blog. I write about a lot of the different recipes in my family and some travel that I've done throughout Oaxaca. I took a lot of cooking classes there for part of my master's research.
With who?
With the cooking classes, I took them with five different chefs and home cooks there. So I took some with Oscar Carizosa from Casa Crespo, Pilar Cabrera from La Olla.
Love her.
Reina Mendoza from Teotitlan.
Of course.
Susanna Trilling.
Oh, I love her too.
Susanna. Yes. And then my last one was, who's my last one? Oscar. Oh, and Nora Valencia. She's Pilar's cousin. She teaches cooking classes too.
Oh, nice. Look at you.
I know.
Okay. Well, you're probably
Oaxacan expert.
You probably know how to cook more Oaxacan food than I do then.
Yeah, I do.
I actually do.
Well, because you said you don't really like cooking that much except breakfast.
Yeah, at home. At home. So Lola, can you tell everybody how many kids you got? You got a husband? You got a wife? Yes. Come on, share with us.
I have one.
What's
husband.
Up, girl?
Yeah, I have only one.
What's his name?
Michael. And we got married in 2012.
I'm assuming that's where the last name comes from because you don't look like a Dweck.
Yes. Okay. Dweck. I guess that's a really popular. It's kind of like saying Lopez, but among the Syrian Jewish community. Oh. So his last name is Dweck, and then my son is Amado. He's 2 years old.
Your husband's very handsome, by the way. I just saw a picture of him the other day.
Thank you.
Damn, Paulina. Okay.
No, I mean, you know.
All right.
Okay. No.
Okay.
So
here's a question that I actually like to ask all of our guests when they come in because I learn a lot from it every time I ask. And you know, you have your blog, you have a 2-year-old. What does a day in your life look like? What's your morning routines? What routines do you have in the morning and to get, you know, kind of like from the moment you open your eyes to like the moment you close your eyes, sort of like what's your routine?
Okay, so Amado goes to in-home daycare, Spanish immersion daycare, 2 days a week. So those are the days that I focus on just on my blog and on developing recipes and my products, all that sort of stuff. Because when I have him, I pretty much focus on him. But the days that I have him, we wake up maybe around 7 in the morning. He's always hungry. I make him breakfast. And then we usually make an activity out of the day when I have before he has his nap time.
Okay, here's where I always interrupt moms. Like, what time do you shower?
Shower.
It turns like people don't think about that. I'm like, girl, yeah. I need to know what time you get up and what time you shower. Like, how do you do that?
Okay, so we wake up around 7, like I said. Breakfast is until about 8:39, and then I'll jump in the shower and we'll be at the, because there's a really cool library reading time for toddlers at about 10:15. So I'll shower between 9 and 10, and then Amado just goes upstairs and
So what do you do when you're in the shower and he's not in the shower with you, or do you put him inside and like you?
No, he comes into the bathroom and plays in the bathroom. I'll take him toys, or I'll put him something in Spanish on the iPad to watch.
Okay, you're taking a shower and you're looking at him like, okay.
Or sometimes I'll put him, because I have the shower and then I have the big bathtub, so I'll put him in the bathtub while I'm in the shower, and then I'll get ready while he's playing in the bathtub.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. I always ask that because
like, when do you shower? I don't wake up super early to shower before he wakes up, unless there's something important where I have to be and I know I have to be ready earlier.
And then the days where you develop recipes and work on your blog, how do those days work?
Those days, I usually don't take a shower till after I pick him up because I know that's going to take too much time.
Those days, and I don't shower.
No, cause, and
keep
then
it
I,
real, girl.
And I also
keep
like,
it real.
I also like to go to yoga because there's a 1:30. Oh, right, I have to pick him up at 3, so I'll go to the 1:30 yoga class. I get as much work as I can before I pick him up. And then at 1:30, I'll go to yoga. So I'll just be in my yoga outfit all day and not shower because I'm going to get sweaty in yoga. And then get out at 2:30, go pick him up. Yeah.
You're obviously not my husband. My husband would shower in the morning after yoga, and then when he would come home before going to bed.
That's just freaky.
I know.
I know. I started wanting to take showers at night, every night, like you said you guys do.
Yeah, I have to because I got to... In case something happens, I mean, I gotta be ready.
Yes, that too. I take shower every night.
I know you're the one who told me that I needed to start working out and start with yoga. Mm-hmm. I started working out, by the way, guys.
Oh yeah,
awesome. She finally
patterns
did.
I just want to say that I made my decision. And last week I worked out 4 times.
Yay. Wow, that's at great.
Home? Oh, girl, when I start, like I am not. I mean, that's why it took me so long because I'm like, if I'm gonna get committed to this. And I'm going to have to tell my listeners every single week, I can't disappoint.
Yeah. Right. So I got to go hard. When you go, you go hard.
I go hard.
So what are you doing now?
Well, I live in a hill. So I'll tell you guys what the workout that I'm having right now. I live on a hill. So I go up and down the hill 5 times, mm-hmm. 3 times regular and 2 backwards. Then I have the Nike training app that I've used in the past
that one's cool.
I love.
Yeah.
So I have a Get Strong program. So I do squats, push-ups, planks, leg lunges. It's like a series of kind of like routine.
I love that app. Yeah.
So it's about 10 to 15 minutes when I'm doing my cardio when I'm going up and down my hill. And then 30 minutes of strength training with weights, and everything has to do with like muscle development. So,
oh, wow, that's great.
How long do you work out? An hour?
About like 45 minutes in the morning to an hour. Or at night? So, for example, today, because today I'm going to have to edit and I won't be able to work out at night, I got up really early and I did my hill for 20 minutes. Then I like did a little bit of yoga for about 10 minutes. So that will be that's what I will do today, and then tomorrow I'll go hard at night, and Thursday I'll go hard at night, and then Saturday morning I'll go hard.
That's great. I thought you didn't like working out though.
No, I like working out. I just kind of, I mean, it just
fell off the wagon.
Yeah, it just takes so much of you, you know. Anyways, yeah. This isn't about me; it's about you. So come on, Lola. So you live in Denver, and you're here visiting. You're here for a bridal shower?
First a bachelorette weekend in Santa Barbara, and then I stayed because her mom planned the bridal shower this weekend.
Nice. So you guys went hard last weekend, and now you guys are doing the nice part?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Went real hard. Everyone lost their minds.
And where's your son?
My son right now, he's at home with my sister.
Oh, so you brought him with you?
Yeah. I travel with him all the time because usually when I come out, I stay for more than the weekend, so I can't. My husband works, so I can't just leave him. With him.
So how does it work out? How does it work with your husband? I know he's obviously not Mexican or Latino. You're Mexican, right?
Yes, Mexican-American.
And so tell me about home. How does that, how is that different? I mean, how do you guys keep the traditions alive? How does it work when you have a white husband?
Well, he has a lot of culture because his family, they have Syrian roots, but his mom was born in Israel. His dad was born here in the U.S. And they're Jewish and they're conservative. So they do maintain a lot of traditions of their own. And I would say they're probably equivalent to some of the traditions that I grew up with as a Catholic. He went to a Jewish school. I went to Catholic school. So we kind of...
And you converted, right? I remember you told me
that.
Yeah.
Oh, you told us the story.
I converted May 24th, exactly a month before we got married in San Diego. I had to dip in the water 3 times.
The cold water, you said, right?
The freezing water. But I made him go in with me, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I think what we do, one of the challenges he had, because he's from a conservative Jewish family, was... figuring out how to incorporate some of my traditions into his life too, like Christmas. Right. He's like, I never received Christmas gifts. How am I going to feel comfortable getting a Christmas gift, right? So we talked to the rabbi about it before the conversion, and our rabbi told us, you know, just because she's taking on some of your religion doesn't mean that she's going to be excluded from her own traditions. And just like she's taking on a lot of your traditions, you have to learn how to embrace some of hers. So if you're with her family for Christmas, you have to, that's fine. You can get a gift. So for Christmas, we always spend Christmas with my family. Thanksgiving is sometimes we're in Denver, sometimes we're with my family. And then all of the Jewish high holidays, which are like Passover and the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, we spend with his family. So Amado gets a lot of that culture with his family.
Well, that's
and then we also, within our own home, we kind of started with, because his family, they all keep kosher, which means that they only buy kosher meats. They don't mix meat with dairy. There's different levels of observance. So I think when we moved into our own home, that was one of the questions that we had. What were we going to do? And since food is such a big part of what I do, it was probably one of our biggest challenges.
Right.
And we started off in San Diego where we said we were going to buy kosher meat. And my compromise was, if there's a recipe that I can't make, if they don't have the right cut of meat that I need, then I'm going to get whatever meat I need, with the exception of pork and shellfish. He said that's something that he does not want in the home.
Right.
He doesn't feel comfortable eating it within our own home. But if I eat it outside, he's totally fine with that.
Okay.
So you don't make carnitas at home?
I don't make carnitas at home. So when I come to my mom's house, I think I'm deficient. So I always want pork chops or carnitas or tamales with,
Tamales de puerco.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, and then we, even with the baby, we had to kind of discuss. When I was pregnant, I was eating shrimp one time when we were out or something. I can't remember. And he said, we didn't discuss if the baby was going to be able to eat shrimp. And I just started laughing. I said, seriously, I'm pregnant right now. This is not the time to be telling me what and when I can't eat. Yeah.
So no. is that how you do it also for
no,
the baby?
Because in Colorado, going back to the meat situation, in Colorado, it's a lot harder because the Jewish population is not as big as in San Diego has the largest Mexican Jewish population in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Oh. So they have a pretty good selection of meats. I found a lot of the stuff that I needed. But when I moved to Colorado, it's not the same. The food, the selection's not good. It's all frozen. It's not good quality. So I just had a meltdown one
day. It's not kosher.
Yeah, it's not kosher. So one day I just had a meltdown and I told him, I can't do this. I can't drive 40 minutes out to get this meat that's not good quality.
Right.
I that's something I enjoy. I enjoy going to the store and getting good quality stuff that I want to make for dinner. So he said, that's fine. As long as you're comfortable with no pork and no meat within our house, then we'll do that.
And the dairy and meat?
We don't do that. So at his house, they even have separate dishes. At his parents' house, separate dishes for dairy meals and then for meat. But we said that's not something that's important to us to maintain.
Oh.
Okay, so then you guys do switch.
We'll have a cheeseburger. We'll have stuff that has that chicken enchiladas have cheese. So there's a lot of traditional Mexican dishes that I think mix the two. So, yeah,
How does it work with Amado?
Amado... Well, within our home, he eats the stuff that we eat, which is no pork and shellfish. But if we're out, it's kind of like with my family. They love to, Amado, ven, aquí tienes carnitas, tamales. So
that's what I was going to say. How does he feel? Because I know, Mexican families are like so overwhelming sometimes.
It's almost like do it purposefully. Like,
yes. Yeah, yeah, here's soda. They want to give him everything.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How is your husband with that?
I don't think he loves it.
I don't tell him.
No, but he doesn't. He won't say anything if he sees that he's eating a tamal because that's what we eat for Christmas.
Right.
So, yeah, he's okay with it.
And you just have
not,
a big
as
family,
long as it's
right?
not within the house.
Does he have a big family too?
He has two siblings.
But
we get together for the holidays, it's always at least 20 people. But when we get together with my family, it's, I don't know, 50, 60 people. <I know.
laughs> How many siblings do you have?
I have five.
So there's five of you guys.
Yeah, I'm in the middle.
Hey, middle child. So tell me more about your cooking and your baby. And wait, so then how does it, he goes to a Spanish immersion. Does your husband know how to speak Spanish?
He speaks a little bit of Spanish. So he.
Do you have him in immersion school too?
Michael? I'm trying. I want him to go at least for 6 weeks to Oaxaca. I feel like he would pick it up really well because he has enough of a base to pick it up. But,
right.
You know, work gets in the way of that.
So he hasn't been to Oaxaca yet?
He went one time. Oh. Yeah, when I was there researching, he was there for a week and we took some cooking classes together too.
Oh. Yeah, is there kosher in Oaxaca?
Is it what?
Kosher?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Is. Yeah,
oh.
A lot of the stuff is kosher. I mean, you know.
Not like blessed meat. But
yeah, not blessed.
But there's stuff you can eat without pork and shellfish.
That's cool.
And how do you guys do it with the language and keeping, I'm assuming you want to keep him bilingual, which is why he goes to immersion school. How do you guys do that?
So I speak to him exclusively in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And then Michael speaks to him in English primarily. But if he does know how to express himself in Spanish with certain things, he'll talk to him in Spanish. But Amado just switches literally back and forth when we'll call Michael right now that I'm in California on FaceTime and he'll just immediately start speaking to him in English. So he already knows who speaks which language.
Yeah.
But with I was on the Bilingual Avenue podcast and we were talking about how you could still incorporate Michael knows enough Spanish where he can still help and contribute. Like he can read to him. He can work on the flashcards with him. And if we're going to if he's going to be on the iPad at all, I tell him it has to be something in Spanish that's educational. So he still contributes even though he's stronger in English.
So do you really do exclusively Spanish or is it 80-20, 50-50?
I would say it's probably 99-1.
Really?
If there's something that I don't know how to say in Spanish, and there are some things, I'll say it in English. But no, I only speak to him in Spanish. And if my family is speaking to him in English, I'll repeat stuff to him in Spanish. And, I'll question if they're saying it if they ask him a question in English, I'll repeat it in Spanish. If they tell him something in English, I'll repeat it in Spanish just so that he's getting it in both languages.
Right.
Oh, yeah, only speak to him in Spanish.
Yeah.
But when you speak to Michael, obviously he hears you speak to dad in English.
Yes. So he knows English. He knows both. Even though he's I mean, he gets a lot more Spanish just because he's with me all day and then he's at the daycare. But the little kids who go to daycare, they understand Spanish, but they speak in English.
Right.
That's because they don't get the Spanish at home.
Yeah.
So when I go pick him up and the little kids are speaking to him, I'll tell them, Eva, amado habla español. So speak to him in Spanish. And then they, I mean, I think the nanny kind of has to facilitate that a little bit more. Right. Because I thought he was getting all Spanish there, but he's only getting it from her.
Yeah, you're right. That happens to me sometimes. And I catch myself talking in English to Krista. But sometimes what I do, and I tell her, oh, no hablo inglés. No hablo inglés. And she's like, what? No hablo. No entiendo. So then she's forced to repeat it in Spanish. And because I'm like, if I don't do that, she'll continue to speak in English. And sometimes I forget, but sometimes I'm like, have to remind myself all the time. So, you know, how do you keep it
all 99%? Spanish? Honestly, I think because Amado, I don't get intimidated because he's a child. So there's people in Mexico there's people here who I know speak English and Spanish. And when I know that they speak English, I'll revert to English. But I almost act like Amado doesn't know English. So that I only speak to him. Like my relatives in Mexico, they don't speak English. So right. I know that I have to speak in Spanish when I'm speaking to them.
Right.
And that's the way I treat when I'm talking to Amado. That's the way I act when I'm talking to Amado. Like if he doesn't know English, even though I know he does, I only speak to him in Spanish.
And I know you mentioned like books, flashcards, because I know you were telling us like in Colorado, it's a little harder for you because it's not like, you know, LA, everything's like Spanish and everything. So over there in Colorado, what else do you do at home with him that you can share with our moms? Because there was a post recently on our closed group, I think we all saw it, about a mom living in Switzerland, I think, and she was like really struggling.
No, she lives in the Netherlands, and I know that because that's where G-Star is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And she was having, you know, she was having problems, trouble with that because it's not like LA. So for me here, like you have a school and I have this and I have that, you know. But how do you do it out there without all the support that there is out there?
Well, like I said, I use a lot of flashcards. All of the books that I buy for him are in Spanish. And even if I have English books, I'll translate them as I'm reading to him into Spanish. Everything that if I'm preparing something in the kitchen with him, I'll be telling him what the fruits are or what the ingredients are that we're using in Spanish. Denver is about a 25-minute drive from us, and that's where the Mexican grocery stores are. So sometimes we'll have our little field days where we'll go buy our groceries. And he loves the stores because there's always music and all these colors. And yeah. So, I mean, I expose him to as much of the culture as I can where I'm living. And then, the music that we listen to is I always have Spanish music on.
Like what?
I like Cinco Patitos, or I think it's Cinco Patitos Radio on Pandora.
So you listen to kids?
Sometimes, music. But then, I need to listen to regular music too sometimes. So I like the Lila Down Station, and then the Chambao, just music so that he's hearing the Spanish words. Right. And I didn't think, when we're in the car, I'll listen to Spanish music too. And I remember the other day I had English music on and he started repeating the words. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's repeating the words. I just need to keep up with the Spanish because if he's hearing it in Spanish, then he'll repeat the Spanish words in the music words too.
Right.
So. Yeah, so I guess it's just kind of maintaining as much Spanish
exposure
as possible, right?
Yeah.
I need to get better at that. What I do say, and what my sister brought up a few weeks ago that stuck with me, was how las R's, you know, like that's like the one, the R's and the rolling D, like dado, know, like those are the kind of words that are hard for us, for the tongue to get used to.
Yes.
So what I've been doing is every day to him and to my husband, because my husband's Spanish isn't 100%. Mm-hmm. I can repeat it too. I'm always like, R con R cigarro. Did you ever learn that?
No.
Oh, and in Oaxaca, in Mexico, when you are in kindergarten or preschool, whatever, they always show you this. R con R cigarro, R con R barril, que rápido corre el ferrocarril.
Yeah.
That's like the one thing you learn when you're, and you repeat it over and over and over and over again. So they just have, their ear has to get kind of,
I think, yeah,
used to the rolling R's, because those are the ones that are
those
hard.
Are the most difficult.
And Amado's a pro at that.
Dedo.
I didn't know if kids were born, if you're it's like, you know, the taco tongue, you could either do it or you can't. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if the R was, you're born with it or you're not, because my older brother can't roll his R.
Really?
But was he born here?
Yeah, but we all, I mean, that, everyone that, in my but, family
but
can.
I think it makes a huge difference, though, if because it, I noticed with Krista that she wasn't pronounced, like, she was saying, like, perro.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, perro, perro. And then, you know, and I was like, oh, I have to work on that.
Yeah.
Because that's our youngest sister. She didn't really work on that, and it's super hard now for her to pronounce all the R words. And you could see the accent with the R's.
Yeah, that's like something. She wouldn't be able to say what I just said.
No.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, I have to work on Krista on that. So I'm like thinking about like a million words with R's lately, and I'm like, siga, like carro, you know, fierro, you know, like anything.
La
and
rana René. Like, that's what I think is the mother.
So,
sí, la rana René.
La rana René.
That's a great one.
That's a good one. So, you know, that's one of the things that I've been working on with her lately, because she's not, I felt like that was something that she was struggling with. And if we teach them early, they'll just catch up with it and keep it, you know, forever.
No, Amado's an expert with the R, since that was one of the first things that I think he learned. He actually uses it when it's not necessary. Like, I'll show him the fruit. Well, he knows dog, perro, and then I'll show him the fruit, a pear, and he'll say, perra. And I'm like, no, perra means something else. This is a pera. And then he'll, I remember one time he said, quiero ir a jugar. I'm like, no, that doesn't require the rolling R.
But that's great. That's great, though, because I think that's one of the biggest things that kids struggle. I've noticed it at the immersion school, like that's one of the things that they struggle with, the R's a lot.
He even actually knows the difference when I'll ask him how to say his name in English, the you're saying the D's, and I'll say Amado, and then in Spanish he'll say Amado.
So yeah, so that's good. So I feel like we, like as moms, for those of us who are feel really strongly about keeping our children bilingual, is just putting the emphasis on the D's and on the R's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's great.
But that's great. But yeah, of course. The D is so important, but that's great that his name is Amado. Mm-hmm. Because think about it, like Amado, like to say Amado, and say like people will be like, oh, Amado.
Yeah, you're right.
The D is so important. Yeah. The it D makes a and difference. The R.
Yeah. And the T's. You remember like Mitla? A lot of people say Mitla.
Mitla? No, but that's the L. I mean, the whole language, right?
Well, no, it is too. Like tacos versus tacos. It is. The T is different,
the
too.
The T also.
The D's and the R's, lady.
Practice.
All right. Well, let's practice. And then let's take a break.
Come back.
Drink our micheladas. Practice our rolling R's, our D's, and our T's. We'll be right back.
Tacos and tostadas.
The arrachera. Welcome back to our segment, one of my favorite segments, Patterns to Patterns, brought to you by Seventh Generation, where we talk about a pattern in our life that we want to change.
Yes.
You already know, I've already followed through my pattern. I'm working out.
Yay, good for you.
I know. Lola's Cocina, do you have a pattern that you would, a generational pattern that you want to break?
Yes, I was thinking about it all weekend. And it's funny because the first thing that came to mind when I was discussing it with my two sisters, everyone said the same thing. So growing up, I can never, ever remember my mother ever apologizing for anything. And I think there have definitely been situations where an apology was in order. And I mean, just a recent example that I think was pretty important in my life was before my wedding. I know for weddings, there's always a lot of stress and people start acting crazy. There's a lot of drama. And my mom was having a tantrum and saying that she wasn't going to go to the rehearsal dinner. And she told my sister that she knows the only reason she was invited was because she was my mom. And my sister just told her. My sister
why
told her.
Why is mom so dramatic? Okay, is that what we're going to be like?
That's like that's when we're heading.
Like when Amado gets married and I'd be like, the only reason I'm going is because I'm your mom.
Yeah. Well, my sister told her, well, why else would she invite you?
It's not like you guys are friends.
So, I mean, it just causes a lot of unnecessary stress. And she never apologized, but I've accepted that. I know that that's how she is. And then I realized, I came to learn that my grandmother told my aunt one time, you know, there's never a reason. You never should apologize to your kids. So they grew up with that. That's
right.
Something that she grew up with. My grandma probably did a lot of things that required apologies, and she never apologized. So that's how my tias are. That's how my mom is. And I just realized that I didn't like that growing up. And I realized that in order to maintain healthy relationships, I need to change that. And right. if I'm wrong, if I do something wrong with my son or with my husband, I always make it a point to apologize. If Amado does something wrong, I'll have him apologize to his little cousins if he's being naughty, because it's just something that I don't want. I think it builds a little bit of resentment when you know that they've done something wrong and they're not apologizing. And right. I also think that it's important to be sincere in your apology and not to make an excuse like, I'm sorry, but you were doing this that got me mad. It's just if you're wrong, apologize, take ownership, and that's it. And I know it's hard and it takes you have to swallow your pride. But I think once you cool down and you're ready to apologize, just make it sincere, whether it's with your husband or a friend or your child.
Right. That's really
that
good.
Is a great a pattern one. To pattern. That,
no wonder you didn't want to tell me before. I was like, what is this? She's like, I can't tell you.
Oh, my God. You know, I just realized, and I know our mother is one of our more loyal listeners. My mother has never apologized for anything.
Nothing.
Break it, no. girl. Break that pattern.
I just, right. Now that you said that, I'm like, has my mom ever said I'm sorry for certain things? Never.
That is true.
And we're not perfect. We do things wrong, and we do have to apologize sometimes.
You know, and that's true. And I think it's because, you know, when in our culture, it's always like, I'm your mother and I'm right. You know, mm-hmm. I don't care what you say. Like, you're going to do whatever I say, you know. And that's the kind of thing that we grew up with. I have apologized. Now that I'm thinking about it, I have apologized to my daughter. I feel like I have. And a couple, like, our male guest, Edgar, when he came, he talked about, like, how many times he apologized to his kids. And that really stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was
remember
like,
that.
That's true. I was like, yeah, you know, he's like, I apologize to my kids all the time. And you're right. You know, we're not perfect. Sometimes I go, like, crazy, like, ham on my daughter. Like, I mean, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, eat your food. And then at night, I go next to her. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. You know, I was mean. And she's like, it's okay, mommy. But, you know, just that, like, us making up at the end of the day, I think that goes a long way, because the next day we start from, you know, from scratch. We're like, okay, you know, you forgave me and it was my mistake, and you know, you're right, we're not perfect, so it's very important to apologize.
Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you for that awesome pattern to pattern. Wow,
look at you.
Yeah, look at you, gold star.
I'll give you another michelada for that.
Thank you.
She's already dry. Look.
That's too good. It went down too easy.
It did look in a little bit. Thank you, Lola. That was my favorite pattern of patterns so far. And I know my husband's going to appreciate that one. Yes. Ladies, for more information on 7th Generation, visit 7thgeneration.com. And don't forget to hashtag us when you buy your products. Lola, I know you've been using their detergent.
I have. I actually love it. I love the way it smells.
Right?
Yes. I love lavender.
Right? The best. You. I love, and especially now that summer's coming. Well, in LA, we get sun all the time. Their SPF is also amazing.
Oh, awesome.
Their diapers, I mean, you guys.
Oh, the diapers are cool.
Seriously.
So cool.
7thgeneration.com. Hashtag us, Supermama Generation. And I love that hashtag because we are a new generation, and it ties so great with our Patterns to Patterns segment, because it's like, how do we make our own? How do we make our own legacy to our kids and break some of those generational patterns that we've been struggling with so far, you know?
We are right now. Mm-hmm. We are breaking those patterns.
All right, ladies, we'll be right back. Las Chuquillas are back. Las Chuquillas. We should just rename our podcast to Las Chuquillas.
Las Chuquillas.
Okay, for those of you who did not listen to that episode, chuquilla is a smell that lingers on your dishes.
After you
cook eggs.
Specifically eggs.
So in Oaxaca, I don't know if any other culture or any other state uses this word, but in Oaxaca, it's sort of like, ay, sus platos olían a chuquilla. They're like, ew.
And it affects all your dishes because you use the same sponge, and then it transfers to everything.
Yes. Qué mala mujer. Mm-hmm. Qué mala mujer. Cómo no lava bien sus trastes. Okay. Well, you guys, we're back to my second favorite segment of the show. Our picks, our tips of the week. Okay, Lola, since you are teacher's pet today, all star, gold star in your forehead right now, three micheladas in, what is your pick of the week or tip?
Okay, I have a pick this week, and it's something that I've used for 16 years. I was 19 when I first got one. Wow. It's the Vitamix, the blender. I love it. If I could be a spokesperson, Vitamix, if you're listening, holler at your girl.
Holla at Lola's Cocina on Instagram and her website, Vitamix. What?
No, I love it. I remember the first time I saw it was at, I think, the LA County Fair, and I loved it. And I've always been a sucker for infomercials, so when I saw it, I wanted one. I told my aunt to go buy one, and I lived with my aunt at the time. She bought it, and I told my mom about it. She made fun of me because it is pretty expensive, but my mom got it, still has the same one that she bought when I was 19 years old. What? I'm probably responsible for about maybe 6 of my tias and friends and cousins buying one because I love it. And so what makes it different, it's probably about 350 and up. So it's a lot more than a regular blender. But I cook a lot. I've blown through. I remember one year I blew through about 3 different blenders. And they're, you know, cheap blenders, like $50 blenders, whatever. And then I just realized I need something that's better quality. I bought one for myself. I make everything from aguas frescas to hummus to paletas for Amado. I make everything. I use it on a daily basis.
And you
love
guys
it.
Have to check out Lola's Cocina blog. Yes. Okay, we've spoken to you for like the past 45 minutes and we haven't mentioned your blog. Uh-huh. Can you please tell everybody what your blog is and where they can get these awesome recipes, Mrs. Vitamix? We use Vitamixes at the restaurant.
Oh, so yeah.
I don't have one at home.
Yeah.
But I have one at the
you
restaurant.
You need one. Just real quick, the thing that makes it different too is that it has a pretty strong horsepower. It has the same horsepower as a small lawnmower. So the motor's not going to blow out on you no matter what you make. So my blog is a lot of Mexican food, travel, and culture. And what I did was I started compiling all the recipes from my family, my tias, my grandmas, and a lot of the cooks who I worked with in Oaxaca. And I put them all when I was pregnant, worked on it, put everything into one space, and I launched it on Day of the Dead, my favorite holiday.
Oh, do you put an altar in your house?
I have a huge altar. I did a cooking class for Day of the Dead, and I taught all the people who went to it in Colorado who didn't really know what it was about the whole tradition, about the significance of the different items on the altar, and they loved it.
Aww. Can you give our listeners a little 411? Because on our last episode, on altar, we talked about all altares, but I just realized we never gave...
We didn't.
The why or... So go.
Yeah, well, I started it. My dad passed away when I was 19 years old. And then I started it when I moved to San Diego because they have a big, huge procession every Day of the Dead.
Right.
So I started inviting people over to my house and people would bring pictures and just my altar just started growing and growing. And it was something that I wanted to maintain even when I was in Colorado and my family wasn't close by. So I really honor my dad. And then I have different items that I've picked up in Mexico. I have the papel picado, the flower. I do the flowers, the cempasúchil. I have calaveras that represent each person who's on my altar, the papel picado, which represents the fragility of life. What else? The food. I always have, like, for my grandmother, I have the dry chiles, chile japonés, because that's what the chile she used to make a salsa that all of us make in our family. My grandpa, he used to like garlic sandwiches, so I have a bowl of garlic for him. And one of my little baby cousins passed away, so I have a little baby rattle. So I think just keeping that tradition alive and exposing Amado to it has been really important to me because it's something that I love and I want him to grow up with, and he better build me an altar when I die.
Dang, girl. You are intense. My pick of the week is going to be Lola. That is not even a pick of the week. Lolascocina.com.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Lolascocina.com? Yes, lolascocina.com.
Ladies, check it out. Not only check it out, but she's about to launch her salsa line.
Uh-huh. Salsas and mermeladas inspired by Mexico.
Can't wait.
I'm going to be like vlogging in every time. Ship them out to my house, please.
I will.
Paulina, your pick or tip?
I have a tip this week. It kind of stems from something that you mentioned on previous podcasts about putting your son, sitting your son in a little table and chairs for breakfast and dinner. So I started doing that with my kids, both of them, and I realized that they are they're eating more when they're sitting on their little tables together because they're able to, like, get up and you know, just sit down, and Sabina is just, like, more engaged with the food now. And also, I started giving Krista kid-friendly utensils, like fork and knife. And I started teaching her how to use it. And because not right now, the table is at her level, she's actually able to use it. And over this past weekend, I was teaching her, like, you know, how to hold it and everything. And she got it really easily.
Wow,
with the
look
table.
At you. Very wry of you.
Very wry of me.
Very wry of you, by the way. Oh, I'm glad I'm rubbing up. I'm glad I'm rubbing up.
And you know what another funny thing is? Remember our friend Monique from Salvage Goods? Uh-huh. She sent us some gifts. Krista every day uses the babero now. Oh. She uses a bib. She's like, Mommy, where's my babero? And then she puts it on and she uses like forks and knives and she's like all proper, Miss Lady.
Wow.
So, you know, I recommend like a little table with chairs and
at their level.
And they
so important.
They eat more now that they're sitting there because they're not like a huge table, you know, and it's easier to clean. Way easier to clean.
Unless you're my tip.
Yeah. I have a quick question. Are the utensils the metal ones or the plastic ones that are a little bit chunky?
No, they're the metal ones.
Oh yeah,
they're
like
small
too.
Ones. Yeah. So the edge, like the what do you call it? The sharp quote unquote is not really sharp. It's metal, and then the fork is also like it's metal.
Yeah.
Plastic doesn't really work.
No, and they're a little bit too bulky, I think, for the babies. I like the metal ones.
Nice. I use the metal ones. Mm-hmm. I use the metal ones. So mm-hmm. And it's been working out really good.
Oh,
so that
nice.
Is my tip.
Oh, they're all food related. I don't have a food related one, but
I mean, I am with Lala's Cocina. I know.
I step up my game. my tip's gonna be, or my pick this week's gonna be a nap. You guys, like I mentioned earlier, and I'm like talking about it because I feel so proud of myself that I finally got to work out.
I'm proud of you.
And every time I was like running, I was like, because I have to talk about it on the podcast. I was running. The app that I use for my workout, it's called Nike Training Club. Mm-hmm. You don't even need a trainer because I used to like always work with trainers, and I actually wanted to get one this time because I was like, oh, that's the only way I'm gonna like get back into it. But I'm like, no, and why do I need to join a gym? I was thinking in my head, I was like, why do I have to drive somewhere and then come back? It's gonna be so much work. I have a hill. I live
right.
on a hill,
right?
So that's already like something that I can use. And then this app, you guys just download it and you'll see how awesome it is. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many different like programs. So there's like a get lean program, there's like a get fit program, a get toned, a get strong. So it like gives you workout routines based on your goal. And then it tracks it for you. It like it has like anything. It has yoga. It has like a yoga thing you can like learn yoga. I mean, it has so many different like workout routines that you can choose from, or it creates one for you, which is the one that I'm on right now. I'm on the Get Strong 4-week program, intermediate level. So that's why I have to work out 4 times a week. Or if you want to just do like beginner. And then you can add running. If you add running, then it'll also like track your running. So Nike Training Club app. I love it.
I use the Nike Running app.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So if you like okay, ladies, if I'm working out now, you guys have no excuse. Right. Because you guys know how hard it's been for me and how crazy my schedule is. And if I can do it, you guys have no excuse.
Right?
Right?
True.
I'm going hard.
True.
So.
Hashtag truth.
For real.
No, for real. Yes.
So, I mean, I want everyone working out now. I want to see people's results. I want you guys to hashtag me, Supermama Generation. I want to see you guys working out. Come on, guys. Summer is on its way.
Summer is on its way, for sure.
Thank you so much, Lala, for coming in.
You're welcome. Oh. You just fulfilled one of my 2016 goals.
Yay!
It was one of my goals to be on this podcast.
Were we on your vision board?
Yes, you were.
You know what's so funny about talking about goals? You know, another tip. I'm gonna do a bonus. I'm gonna be a teacher's pet too.
Damn, I have to come up with something now.
No. Yesterday when I was driving, we were driving with my husband. I was looking for something on my phone, and I use a notes mm-hmm. app a lot on my phone to type in whatever. And I was looking for something, and then something popped up, and it was life goals, and I'd forgotten that I had written a list of life goals of my life, I think like 3 years ago. Mm. I had to be like a few years ago. My husband and I weren't together because one of them was like date a professional athlete. I dated a professional athlete. So obviously one of them wasn't there. I mean, obviously it was when I was single when I wrote these out. One of them was to own a home by the time I was 35. And I was like, hey, accomplished. No, but like, you guys write out your goals, and like some of these goals that I have in there, I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, they range from like 25 pull-ups. I can't even do one pull-up yet, but that's a life goal.
That is.
To be able to do 25 pull-ups, come on, you know, and to like write it out. Another life goal that I had was to paraglide on the Machu Picchu. That's a life goal.
That is.
Another life goal that I had was spend a summer in France with my husband. I wasn't even married then. And I was like, everyone was like, I need to have a husband. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Write out your life goals.
We were talking about that on Friday. Friday night, we had dinner with Lola and some friends. And we were talking about that, right? Like just putting our intentions out there. We've talked about this so much on the podcast. But when we got a bunch of girls together, we were like, what, 10 girls, mm-hmm. right? We put a bunch of girls together on Friday night. And we all agreed on the same thing. Once you either write it down or talk about your goal, or just it'll come to you.
It happens.
If you just think about it, it's cool to think about it, but you actually have to like, you know, put it out there in the universe for it to become reality. So that's another thing. That's, you're right. Either write it, say it over and over again, but I don't know, draw it, do the vision board, do whatever you have to do, but just, you know, make it happen, bring it to you, call it out so it can come back to you. Right, Lala?
Exactly. And they say that you're a lot more successful with your goals when you actually write them down. You can think about it, and that's one level, and then you can verbalize it, that's another level. But when you actually write it, it almost makes it more real and attainable.
Right. Looking at it.
Yeah. So I was so happy I ran into my life goals. And I was like, another one was like, do a 100-mile bike ride. I don't know. When. I'm like, my husband's like, I was reading them out to my husband, and he was like, well, you need to first learn how to get on a bike.
I thought you didn't know how to ride a bike.
I don't. That's why it's a life goal.
Yesterday we were at USC at the book fair, and there was a bunch of bikes, right? And I was like, oh, that's the one I want. My husband's like, yeah, just take it. I'm like, no, that one. Take it. I'm like, no, I really want to get a bike. I don't know how to ride a bike, guys. I need to learn how to ride a bike.
That can be a...
That is one of my life goals.
It's never too late to learn. My advisor in grad school never knew how to swim.
Oh.
And then she would swim miles in the ocean in San Diego. Yeah.
Yep.
So she learned swimming. How to swim and is great.
Humans,
now.
We have this thing called a brain that like can make us do whatever the hell we want. Like, think about it, guys. Like, think about this. Like, people didn't know how to fly, and then somebody wanted to fly, and they just created an airplane.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, people just create stuff. So don't limit yourselves.
Do not limit yourself.
Okay. So that's another week. Thank you, Lola. We diverted, but thank you, Lola, for coming in. Don't leave. Move to LA. Move to LA.
We already put it out in the universe.
We put it in the universe on Friday.
Move to LA.
All 10 of us.
Yes. I want to figure out what your husband does and have him like come and work here or something. To LA, not here, but like come work in LA.
Get like it's.
So where can they find you? Yes.
Instagram, Lola's Cocina. Pinterest, Facebook, Lola's Cocina. Yep, I'm on.
I don't follow you on Pinterest, but I will right now.
Lola's Cocina, you guys, lolascocina.com. And she's going to be the supermama social. Aren't you?
I'm going to be in Oaxaca, actually.
Oh.
I know. Oaxaca. You guys
okay,
are
mine. I can't get mad at you from
the
date.
You're going to be in Oaxaca.
I can't get mad at you because you'll be in Oaxaca.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I'll be representing Super Mamas in Oaxaca.
We'll Skype you in. We'll Skype you in. You guys, don't forget to get your video. Don't forget to get your tickets for the social, supermamasocial.com. It will sell out, ladies, so don't procrastinate. We're going to have so many things for kids.
Tickets.
And don't forget to follow us on social media as well.
On Instagram @_supermamas, Facebook Supermamas Podcast, or website www.supermamaspodcast.com. Click on contact. There is a join our Facebook group link. Click on it and join our Facebook. How cool is our group, Lola?
I love it. It's my favorite group on Facebook.
Support one another in there. There's just a bunch of moms just helping each other, and it's super cool. So join us, ladies.
All right, ladies. Supermamas, we're out.
We are out.
Scream supermamas, Lola.
Supermamas, woohoo.
No, más fuerte.
Ay, hombre.
Con fuerza.
Con enjundia. Con enjundia. Con enjundia.
Okay, ready? Supermamas.
Supermamas. Bye, ladies.